Well, it's a good feeling to amaze someone, isn't it? When you amaze them in a good way, I mean, it's a really good feeling to really impress them. I think that's why when a small child does something really good that they're really proud of, we often say, "Wow, that's amazing." And maybe we are amazed, but whether we are or not, we want them to know that it's amazing because it feels good to amaze someone. Especially someone important or someone you care about. Well, here's a thought for you. How would you like to amaze Jesus? By any standard, Jesus is someone important. There's almost certainly no one who has left a bigger mark on our world than him. And in the Gospels, which are the earliest biographies of Jesus we have, and they're in the Bible, In those Gospels, people are very often amazed by Jesus. At St. Peter's of the Rock, throughout this year, we've spent a lot of time in Luke's Gospel. And we've seen people amazed by Jesus, amazed by his teaching, amazed by the extraordinary things he did, by the compassion that he showed. Indeed, we've been amazed by him as we've watched his character and power unfold in the Gospel. But as we return to Luke's Gospel today, to start a new sort of a mini-series on Luke chapter 7, the story that we look at today at the start of Luke 7 focuses not on people's amazement at Jesus, but on someone who amazed Jesus. And as we look at this story, we'll see that the thing that was true of this person which amazed Jesus can also be true of us, of you and I. And we'll begin to see just how good that could be. So, we are in Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bible there, do have it open. That'll be really handy. And we're going to look at it briefly in three parts. The beginnings of faith, amazing Jesus, and amazing faith. Those are the three parts. So first, the beginnings of faith. This story picks up, as verse 1 says, after Jesus finishes a big block of teaching, which is often called the Sermon on the Plain. And then Luke shifts his focus to a centurion in verse 2. Have a look with me. Verse 2. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. Now, that is quite extraordinary in a number of ways. A centurion in the Roman military commanded 100 soldiers, and they were a very important figure. But a centurion also was a symbol of the occupying Roman forces in this Jewish area. A centurion was a leader of military might, the same military might that kept the Jewish people under Roman rule. And of course, Jesus was one of those Jewish people. As well as that, this centurion was a Gentile, that is, a non-Jew. And therefore, to Jewish people at that time, he was an outsider, someone who was not one of the people of God. Indeed, an inscription has been discovered that was on the wall of the Jewish temple at this time, and it says basically that any foreigner who goes too far inside the temple will only have themselves to blame when they are killed. So this centurion was a foreign outsider and a symbol of oppression to the Jewish people, which is why it's very surprising that he sends, in verse 3, some Jewish elders to talk to Jesus on his behalf. And if you look at verses 4 to 5, you'll see those Jewish elders speak very warmly of the centurion. He loved their nation, they say, and he'd even built their synagogue, their Jewish meeting place. So there's a very positive relationship here. In fact, the Jewish people of the area very likely felt indebted to this centurion because he'd treated them so well and built their synagogue. So they spoke to Jesus on his behalf. And this request for Jesus to come and bring the servant through, to bring this servant out of the deadly illness, shows that the centurion had the beginnings of faith. He'd heard of Jesus, and he knew Jesus could help. By the way, if you haven't seen that Jesus can be of help to you, can I encourage you to read through Luke's gospel, even up to this point in chapter 7 that we're up to. Read through and see how compelling this person of Jesus is. And keep joining with us as we look at him together on Sundays. One last thing here. Note Jesus' response at the start of verse 6. Jesus went with them. He heard the request, and he was ready to cross cultural and religious barriers to help this man and his servant. He was ready to go to the outsider, to go to the unlikely one. No matter who you are not too far from Jesus. He will come to you. Now that is the beginnings of faith. Next we see amazing Jesus. Amazing Jesus. See, before Jesus arrived at the centurion's house, something happened that amazed Jesus, and it changed things. It happened, as verse 6 says, when Jesus was not far from the house. Now, we'll come back to what this amazing thing was in just a second. But first, I want us to notice how big it is. Look at verse 9 with me. Verse 9. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. As I said earlier, all through the Gospels, people are amazed by Jesus. But there is only one other incident in the whole Bible where Jesus is amazed. And that's when he's amazed at the unbelief of his hometown. This, what we're reading today, is the only time anywhere when Jesus is said to be amazed in a positive way. And if you think about it, it's an extraordinary thing to amaze Jesus. Some of us who are Christian and have strong beliefs about Jesus might find it amazing that Jesus can be amazed. Can anything take him by surprise? But that's the point. This is such a rare thing, an extraordinary thing. It's amazing that Jesus was amazed, but he was. And he wanted the crowd with him to learn from this faith, which amazed him as well. That's why in verse 9, he turned to them to tell them how amazed he was. We need to learn from this faith that amazed Jesus. But just before we do, and we go look at that faith more carefully, notice that this amazement is so strong that even the long-distance healing here of this terminally sick servant, it almost becomes an afterthought. It's mentioned in verse 10, when the messengers go home, they find the servant better. It's almost an afterthought because the amazement of Jesus is so strong. Yet, it is a lovely reminder, isn't it, that distance is no problem for Jesus either. I said before, we saw before that being an outsider or being seemingly far from him is no problem from him. He'll come to you. Distance is no problem either. Some of us feel distant at the moment in lockdown. We feel isolated. But distance is no barrier to Jesus. Just seek him out. But now, we do turn to this faith which amazed Jesus. Amazing faith. And we see this faith from the message that the centurion sent to Jesus. It starts halfway through verse 6. Let's have a look again. Halfway through verse 6. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. That's it. That's this extraordinary expression of faith which amazes Jesus, which he says he hasn't found even in Israel. And there are at least a couple of elements to this faith. Firstly, this faith is a recognition of Jesus' authority. Remember, this centurion is a military commander. He knows how authority works. He's under authority himself, and he has people under his authority. But his faith here is recognizing that Jesus has total authority, even over sickness, even at a distance. See, his attitude to Jesus is recognizing Jesus' authority. Now, I know many of us have a vexed relationship with authority. I'll come back to that a little bit later. But for now, just notice that this is at the heart of the faith which amazed Jesus. It recognized his authority. And especially, in fact, the authority of his word. The end of verse 7, the centurion says, "Say the word, and it will happen." So your word, Jesus, has authority. The centurion recognizes that when Jesus says something, things happen. But there's another element to this amazing faith. It's faith which recognizes Jesus' authority. It's also faith with humility. The centurion has a humble attitude about himself. The Jewish elders had told Jesus that the centurion was worthy to have Jesus help him. But the centurion himself, in verses 6 to 7, says he didn't deserve to have Jesus come under his roof, and that he wasn't worthy to come to Jesus himself. See, he had a great humility about himself to go with the recognition of Jesus' authority. Now remember, this was a military commander, used to being respected and to having his rights, to having people do what he said. But here he lowers himself as he recognizes who Jesus is. And he was considered a good man by those who naturally would be opposed to him. He was obviously a very morally good person, but he did not consider himself worthy of Jesus. He lowers himself. Indeed, perhaps this is how we can sum up the amazing faith that the centurion shows. He rightly recognized who Jesus is and recognized who he was in light of Jesus. Amazing faith is recognizing who Jesus is and who we are in relation to him. So, do you want to amaze Jesus? Now, at one level, it's very simple to do that. You have faith in him. In other words, you trust him because you recognize who he is, and therefore you recognize who you are. And there's a great joy in that kind of faith. It seems here, great joy and delight for Jesus. He delights to be amazed at faith like that. But also there's great joy for us when we have that kind of faith. Now you might wonder if it's possible to have joy in recognizing someone else's authority and putting yourself under it. In different ways, many of us have trouble trusting authority, especially perhaps those of us who've seen it used selfishly or wrongly, or those of us who've had people with authority or power over us directly who've abused that in some way or hurt us terribly. That's a terrible thing. But actually, it really is good to be under the authority of Jesus, because he uses it well. And he is worth trusting. And the reality is, we need his authority at this time. In different ways at the moment, many of the authorities that people have put their trust in have been found to be disappointing. Whether it's politicians from whichever part of the political spectrum, or whether it's the media, or even for some people, medicine or science or technology. For some of us, it's groups of people we put a lot of trust or faith in. Most of the things that I've just mentioned are good things when they're in their right place. So they're not bad to have our trust, they're not bad to have faith in. But if we place our ultimate faith in those things, for meaning, for life, for death, for hope, well, many of us have found that they come up wanting in a topsy-turvy world, in an uncertain time like this. For most of us, though, if we're honest, our ultimate authority in the end isn't those things. It's actually ourselves. And if we're honest also, we'll certainly find that we are insufficient to be our own ultimate authority when we come up against the hard times of life and the uncertainty of this world. We're not sufficient, we're not enough to be our own authority. So there is something very good about being able to say with the centurion, say the word, Jesus, you have authority, I can trust you. There's something freeing about that, being able to have faith in him. But can we? Can we trust him? Can we have faith in him at the deepest level when our life depends on it? Like the centurion did with the life of someone he deeply cared for. Well, the centurion was proved right in his faith in Jesus. But we can see even more clearly and more fully why he is worth trusting. Because in the end, he used his authority for our eternal good, laying down his life for us. And he rose to life again. Really, in this world, in history, he did. Look into it. If you want to talk about that more, I'd love to talk to you about it. He rose again. So he has authority even beyond death. Do you want to amaze Jesus? Put your faith in him. Trust in his authority and humble yourself before him. Recognize who he is and who you are in light of him. And know the joy and the freedom of doing that. May the Lord bless us all greatly with that joy. Amen.